A group of children between the ages of 4 and 8 were asked the question, "What does love mean?" And here are some of their responses. Some funny, some very wise. From Carl, age 5. "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other." Marianne, age 4, says, "Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day." Terry, age 4, said, "Love is what makes you smile when you're tired." Rebecca, age 8, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love." And finally, this pearl from Bobby, age 7. "Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen." Right? From the mouths of babes. Well, love is indeed magnificent. The songs tell us love is all there is, all you need is love. And this is the day when we celebrate love. And we know that that feeling of love is really the best feeling in life. And yet we also know that there are times when love can be, well, a little bit challenging. Sometimes love can be frustrating, painful, and confusing. It would seem that love is so simple that it ought to just come naturally. What makes it so difficult sometimes? Well, it seems we have some erroneous ideas about love. And the first is that we mistake falling in love for being in love. Or we might say we mistake falling in love for standing in love. And so those over-the-top, out-of-this-world, mind-blowing, fabulous infatuation, that exhilaration that we feel when we're falling in love, often we expect that to last, but of course, it doesn't. And sooner or later, our idealized image of our partner begins to fade away, and then we find that we have a partner who snores or leaves their clothes on the floor, talks too much, or sneezes too loud. And of course, that's when the real love begins. And if you have any doubt about this, just tune in to The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, which, yes, I confess I watch, and watch what happens to the couples after they leave the show. Well, 9 times out of 10, the relationship doesn't last because the fairy tale is over. And so we know this, real love is much deeper and more beautiful, but it is a different kind of experience. Well, the second mistake we make around love is putting our focus on being lovable rather than being loving. You know, in our society, the emphasis is so much around, you know, being attractive and fit and smart and successful and prosperous, intelligent and interesting enough that someone will want us. Well, of course, it's great to strive to be your very best self. Nothing wrong with that. We just need to remember that part of being your best self is to care for other people, not just try to impress them. And surely I'm not the only person in the room who has had a date, going back a ways, where the other person talked about themselves nonstop. And I would go home after a date like this and think to myself, how could they possibly say we had a great connection? I could have been anybody sitting there. I could have been a cardboard cutout. They have no idea who I am. Well, that person was so busy trying to impress and to show himself as lovable, he forgot all about me. Gosh, I don't miss those days. And the third mistake we make about love is that we enter into it as if it is a business exchange, sort of a quid pro quo. Okay, I'll give you this, and you will give me that. This is the agreement. I will meet your needs, and you will meet mine. Well, of course there's reciprocity in love. Of course we give and take. That's part of the joy of it. But when we give with that expectation that now we will get this back, quite often, at some point or another, we're disappointed. We give what we think the other person needs, and we don't get back what we want or need. And that's when we have a problem. Well, perhaps we need to think about love a little bit differently. Maybe we need a little bit of a paradigm shift. In his fabulous best-selling book, written actually 50 years ago, but as pertinent and wonderful today as when it was written, the book is called The Art of Loving by Eric Fromm. And in it, he talks about love, loving is an art. And he says that as with any art, it needs knowledge and effort. So we need to understand love, learn more about it, and then put it into practice. And then he offers this really beautiful definition of love. He says that love is the active concern for the life and growth of that which we love. The active concern for the life and growth of that which we love. It's a great definition because it's so broad, isn't it? Because that can apply to our children, to our pets, to our partners, to our friends, and to our enemies, to our community, to the world, and most definitely to ourselves. And so this is another way of thinking about love that is very different. This idea of sort of holding the space for someone's growth. Well, Jesus told us that this is how God loves. He said that God pours down this love on us. And he said that this is how we are to love as well. And for him to speak about God in this way was very radical in his time because people weren't used to a loving God like that. Their God was judgmental and punishing and capricious and really kind of mean. And so they spent a lot of time worrying about whether they were keeping God happy and trying to stay on God's good side. And then along comes Jesus and offers an entirely different view of God. He talks about God as loving and benevolent and caring and kind. And he says that this God gives love freely. It's not meted out according to whether you've pleased God, whether you did something or didn't do something, whether you're following the rules. It is freely given. It is a joyful experience. We are literally swimming in the love of God. So this was very different. It was hard for people to grasp. And so in the parables, Jesus went about trying to explain or to capture what he was really talking about when he talked about God and he talked about the love of God and, of course, the kingdom of God. And if we look at the parables, which is what we're doing in our Monday night class, we see the many ways in which he surprised his audience and still surprises us by how complete and freely given this love is. And so there was the prodigal son who came back after squandering his inheritance, expecting to be punished and not forgiven. And instead, what? He's met with open arms, overflowing love. Jesus says God's love is like that. And similarly for the laborers in the vineyard, each of them was blessed with just what they needed for a subsistence day's wage, whether they worked 1 hour or 8 hours. Very different from human sense of justice, but very characteristic of how bountifully God loves. And finally, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the lesson that love, God's love, may come to us from unexpected places. And so this Jewish man lying beaten and robbed by the side of the road probably never would have expected that it would be a Samaritan who would come to his rescue. But God's love is like that. It shows up all around us, comes from unexpected places. And so we are to love in this way as well. That is ours to do. And Jesus says that the central quality of God's love is compassion. Now, there's an interesting deeper meaning to this, because the Hebrew and Aramaic word that we translate into English as compassion, in Hebrew and Aramaic, it is the plural of the noun for womb, W-O-M-B. So it may very well be that Jesus was conveying that God's love is womb-like. Is womb-like. Now, is that not a perfect fit with the definition we just looked at for love as the active concern for the life and growth of that which we love? What could be more life-giving and growth-inducing than a womb? And so we think of God as this life-giving, growth-inducing energy, this sort of safe place, safe haven for each of us to grow in our own way. We might say God is an incubator. Oh, maybe. That God is like an incubator. You know, this container within which our growth happens. And notice that it isn't making that growth happen. It's just providing the space for it. This analogy is also really great of God being womb-like for unity, because we don't think of God as a super being in the sky. We think of God as a loving presence. We think of God as a divine energy running through us and all of life, uniting all of us. And this is an energy of goodness and an energy of love. And so the call to us, as Jesus said, be compassionate as God is compassionate. Be womb-like as God's love is womb-like. Now, I realize for you guys, this may sound like a bit of a stretch, but leaving anatomy aside, think about womb-like love as this nurturing, holding space, pulling for that person, believing in them, not forcing it, not giving in order to receive, but rather just loving them for the sheer joy of loving them. When we learn to love in this way, just as we see through the love of God, lives are transformed, we see the lives around us transformed. I can certainly speak to that from experience right here, because it is your love that has transformed me and my life since I came through those doors. This sense of love pouring up, I really wish you could all just take a turn, just come stand up here and feel this. Take a long time, but that kind of unconditional love is transformational. So we have the opportunity to give that to one another, and let us not forget to give it to ourselves. So Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Usually we sort of gloss over that part. Oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to love myself. Yeah, okay. We don't think about that too much. Or we may think that loving ourselves sounds selfish or egotistical. The exact opposite is true. Being selfish and egotistical is a sign of not enough self-love, not too much self-love. It really is a desperate attempt to secure in one's life the love that is missing, and trying to force that through taking and control rather than through giving. So when we truly love ourselves, what we feel inside, it's not a desperate neediness. We feel whole. We feel at peace. You know, when you consider that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, as we love ourselves in this God-like, womb-like way, we truly do come home to ourselves, and we know we're okay. We're more than okay. We're fabulous. And everything is all right. And we feel a tenderness towards ourselves. It is only when we are able to give to ourselves in this way and experience our wholeness that we are then ready to enter into a healthy relationship with another person. It is when we are able to stand on our own two feet and give without conditions and love for the sheer joy of loving that we are ready to enter into that very sacred kind of union. Eric Fromm puts it this way, very powerful. He says, in contrast to symbiotic union, mature love is union under the condition of preserving one's integrity, one's individuality. And then he goes on to say, whether there is harmony or conflict, joy or sadness is secondary to the fundamental fact that two people experience themselves from the essence of their existence, that they are one with each other by being one with themselves rather than by fleeing from themselves. As it happens, sometimes we look for love as our refuge so we don't have to face whatever our work is. But in reality, our work is ours to do. This womb-like presence, this womb-like love is our incubator for that, but it is still ours to do. And we find that when we do that work, things get really great. Then we're one strong, standing on our own feet, individual, coming together with another, creating a third something that is magnificent. So this idea of loving ourselves is not just an afterthought. It is essential to us having healthy relationships with others. And so on this Valentine's Day, I invite you to pay attention, first of all, to the people in your life who love you in a womb-like way, and to appreciate the ways in which they give you that sort of nurturing, life-giving love. And then think about the people that you give that to in your life and appreciate yourself for doing that. And then turn that within. Know that all that you have been through in your life is heroic in its own way, that you are still on your path. See how far you've come and appreciate how courageous you are in going forward to face whatever it is you need to face. If it seems strange to you or awkward to think about loving yourself, you might think about this idea as a way to do that. You sit down and you write yourself a love letter. Well, here's what happened when a group of people did just that.
Love letter to myself.
Here we go.
Dear CB.
Dear John.
Dear Mr. White.
Dear self. Why did I agree to this? Do you love yourself? Yes or no? Yes, we'll keep working on it.
Dev, I love lots of things about you. In fact, every day together is one giant adventure of how much love, meaning, connecting, and gratitude you can fit into it.
I've known you for 25 years now. Through the long journey we have had together, there have been many ups and downs.
But you also always seem to stay calm and collected. That's what I like about you. You're always so easygoing.
I really have never been very good to you, ever really, and I probably owe you an apology.
I must say, you've been through a lot. I'm very proud of you for how far you've come.
Listen, you're pretty great. I know you say that to yourself a lot, but you never really genuinely believe it. Start believing it. I like, nope, sorry, love my ability to listen. I think it's a very special trait I have to be able to really understand people and just listen when that's what they need. I don't know why I find it so difficult to find a soft, warm place for you in my heart. I'm always getting in your way and never thinking that you're good enough.
I know you're still going through some obstacles in life. I know you will get through it. You are so awesome.
Give it time and just love yourself. You can't just wait for somebody else with. You have to start with you. Nicole, I think we should make a date to at least once a week have a cup of tea together. I want to love you and embrace you and treat you just as I would like to be treated, with loving acceptance. Let's start with tea. Thanks for being open with yourself, and I love you.
Passion and grace, Devin.
Love, Nicole.
As we learn to love ourselves, and these brave people, they dug pretty deep in some cases, didn't they? As we learn to love ourselves, we bring our integrity, our wholeness, our unconditional love into all of our relationships. And this is the best gift we can give anyone on Valentine's Day or on any day. I'd like to close with these words of wisdom from yet another one of those young children asked about love. This is from 8-year-old Jessica, who said this: "You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget." Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Close your eyes if you wish. Let's take a deep breath in together. And then release and let go. And one more time. Deep, soothing breath in. And release into the knowing that all is well. In this moment, we feel the love of God in us, as us, surrounding us, supporting us. We can let go. And we breathe into the knowing that each of us is uniquely an expression of God. Breathe into just this sense in this moment of our love for life and for who we are. Just feel that sweet tenderness within us for our own life's journey. I invite you to join me in this, holding these thoughts in your own mind through this love meditation from Thich Nhat Hanh. And allow these words to sink into your own soul. May I be peaceful, happy and light in body and spirit. May I be safe and free from injury. May I be free from anger, afflictions, fear, and anxiety. May I learn to look at myself with the eyes of understanding and love. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. May I learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in myself. May I know how to nourish the seeds of joy in myself every day. May I be able to live fresh, solid, and free. Breathe into this love for yourself. And I invite you now to call to mind someone who is beloved to you, someone you care about deeply. As we send this loving meditation out to them, hold this person in your heart. See the light of God in them. And say within yourself, may you be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May you be safe and free from injury. May you be free from anger, afflictions, fear, and anxiety. May you learn to look at yourself with the eyes of understanding and love. May you be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in yourself. May you learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in yourself. May you know how to nourish the seeds of joy in yourself every day. May you be able to live fresh, solid, and free. Holding these thoughts in our hearts, I invite you to turn within and feel this love moving through you as we commune with the love of God in the silence. Thank you, sweet spirit, for being this loving presence, this womb-like love that surrounds us, that provides the space for us to grow and learn about love, to give ourselves more freely, and to experience that beautiful joy of giving from the deep well within us. For all these blessings on this Valentine's Day, we are so grateful. Thank you, God. So it is.
This is God helping me see in the silence a message for me, and I glimpse the infinite. God speaking, I realize this is God speaking, patient and wise, this is God. In the silence, a message for me, and I glimpse the infinite.
This is a time in our service for the sharing of our love offering. And as you prepare your love offering, I'd like to just provide a little update on our capital campaign. Some of you may have heard this information already, but I want to make sure you all get it, because the very most important message here is thank you. Thank you. This campaign has been incredible. And together we have raised, in either immediate gifts or pledges over the next 3 years, about $925,000. So, I mean, really. Some 260,000 of that has already come in. This is incredible. We're talking about just since November. So, wow. Speaking of love, look what love can do. Look at how our love for this place is manifesting. So with that money that's come in, we were able to pay off the roof, pay off the new HVAC system, pay any of the costs of having the capital campaign. We still have now about $130,000 in that account, and it's growing by the day. And thank you all for being so diligent and following through on your commitments for that. So even though it looks like things are kind of quiet now, it's sort of like when you see a duck on the water, it looks very peaceful, but he's paddling like that underneath. That's kind of what's going on right now. The Facilities Improvement Committee has been meeting with the city, with civil engineers, getting our architects lined up, looking at the plans, and preparing to tackle phase zero, which will be a remodel of this sanctuary, an upgrading of this sanctuary. Woohoo! And so they were talking about the timing for that, and there have been a few adjustments made along the way, so I want you to know about this. We had talked about a two-story education wing, and on closer examination, further thought, looking into the practicality of that, the liability, and also the cost of putting in that second floor, we decided we're not going to go with a two-floor education wing, but rather a single story with a little bit bigger classrooms. And by doing that, it allows us to address, you're going to love this, the bathrooms and the kitchen sooner. So we heard you and have aligned our priorities accordingly. But we'll do our best to keep you informed as we go along here through the e-blast, through announcements at the platform, community forums, that kind of thing. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me or Christopher Knott, and any of our board members can help you out on that. So thank you once again. It's a very exciting time here. And oh, by the way, we're remodeling the bookstore, not part of the capital campaign, but we had so much energy left from the campaign, we decided to go ahead and tackle it. The men's group is providing funding for that. I was very thankful for that. It'll be reopening on February the 28th. Thank you to Denise Beckwith, Marsha Austin, to Star Janicki, to all those who are going to be painting and moving furniture in the next week. We're very excited about that grand opening in a couple of weeks. All right, well, let's join together now in our offertory blessing. Together, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you, God.
Me how
there we go.
Love is my decision right here and now. Love is my decision. It's up to me to stand on that bridge. Love is my decision. No one else can make me forgive. And once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how. Love is my decision right here and now. It's up to me to dance down that road. Love is my decision. No one else can lighten my load. And once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how. My decision right here and now. Love is my decision. It's up to me to dance down that road. Love is my decision. No one else can lighten my load.
my decision. My decision right here and now. My decision right here and
now. Yeah.
Thanks for these gifts. So generous.